Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. It's good to be with you tonight. As I come, I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, I just want to say that the mission of the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry is to share biblical truths that encourage and equip the saints of God. And we hope also that it would reach the unsaved in a special way. As you know, earlier this year, we came to you with a special need. We thank all of you who have responded to our recent appeal, but we just want to let you know that we still have a shortfall regarding our financial obligation. As 2016 draws to a close, we pray that you would help us in one of the following ways. First of all, everyone can pray. You can pray for the financial needs that we have at this present time. Also, you can make a one-time tax-deductible gift to support our radio ministry. And as we always say, no amount is too small. And then I would like to encourage you, if you're able and God leads, to become a regular donor by contributing a monthly gift. Those who commit to a regular monthly gift, a donation of at least $25 a month, you will receive a copy of my book, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. And this book deals with spiritual warfare and how you can engage successfully, victoriously in spiritual warfare. Let me assure you, radio friends, that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. For the ways to donate, you can go to www.anchoredinjesus.org and hit the Donate Now button, or you can call 877-531-5060. Let me thank you in advance for any help that you can give us. We are trusting the Lord for his provision, and we are asking you to seek the Lord as to how you can participate. Thank you for all that you've done. To God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with his message titled, The Lord is Singing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Lord is Singing.
Peace treaties that have been signed, and you don't need to be a scholar to answer this question that I'm getting ready to ask you. Out of the 8,000 peace treaties that were signed, how many of them were broken?
All of them.
All of them. So the world is not at peace. And as we look at this time when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to promote a peace that is unparalleled in all of the history of mankind. Look at that next verse that I have there, coming from Isaiah 9. This is one that we all know. For unto us a child is born. And so again, this takes us back to the first birth. This takes us back to when he came as a babe in a manger. But now look, as we move on from here, what happens? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, let's be honest. The first time he came, the government wasn't on his shoulders. You know, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The government was not upon his shoulders the first time. So when is the government going to be upon his shoulders? During that 1,000-year reign. And his name shall be called Wonderful. We call him that now. But he's not going to know the full reality of that name until the 1,000-year reign. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. The world is looking for peace. The world is trying to promote peace. But we will not know true peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Of his government, and I like this, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forevermore. Peace. Christ came to give us peace. I heard a story about a soldier who was fighting for his country. And in the midst of the fight, his whole family was killed. And he got mad at God. And he went out on a mountainside one night where you could hear the echo. And he, with anger in his heart, said, "Glory to God in the highest." He wasn't saying it because he was worshiping God. He was saying it because he was mad. And the echo went out. Glory, 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 glory. And then he said, "And peace on earth." And the echo went out. Peace, 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 peace. For him. For him. Peace was just an echo. What about you this morning, my friend? Is there turmoil in your spirit? Are you at odds with family members? Are you at odds with someone else? This is the reason why Jesus came. The reason he came was to give us peace. And I wonder this morning how many people that might be among us that peace is only echo. God is not singing. He's not singing if peace is just an echo in your life. Let peace become real. Let Jesus live in your heart and bring a peace that passes all understanding. Husband and wife were going through a bitter divorce, and they were just at odds with one another, and they were angry with one another, and they had a little 4-year-old boy, and it just tore his heart apart when he saw how they bickered with one another. And there was one day as they were standing together, getting ready to go off in a rage against each other, that the little boy took the hand of his mother and the little boy took the hand of his father, and he brought them together again. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Christ came to not only bring us back to God, not only did he reach to heaven and grab the hand of God and grab our hands, but he also grabbed our hands and reached out with those around us in reconciliation and in peace. What makes God sing? What makes God sing? God sings when his people are at peace. The next thing we see when we ask the question, what makes God sing? God sing when there is holiness within his people. Man, God just sings out a melody so sweet and so clear when he looks down and he sees his people living a holy life. When he looks down and sees his people trying to be what he has called them to be. Be ye therefore holy, even as I am holy. Look at the scripture, and we see here another millennial passage, another passage that's speaking specifically about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And it says here in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10, "And a highway," oh, hallelujah, "a highway shall be there." Where? In that millennial kingdom, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall err there not in. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but look at this, only the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. What makes God sing? God sings when he sees people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're doing the best that they can, not in their own power and strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. He sees them trying to live right and try to do right. He sees them trying to live a holy life, that God just fires up the choir in heaven and just begins to belt out a melody when he sees people living holy lives. Now, I did a whole series on holiness, and when we think about holiness, what is holiness? Holiness is not some only a sanctification where you can't be around people and you got to be separated from everybody else. Holiness is not when you get on the ground and call on your hands and knees over thousands of miles of glass and rocks to be holy as some of the monks used to do. Holiness is very simple. Separation from sin and dedication to God. That's all holiness is. And when God sees us living a holy life, he rejoices. During that series on holiness, there was an illustration that I gave, and it just stuck in my mind. And the illustration was on an animal called the ermine. And the ermine was a little furry, had a fur of white, pure white, almost as pure as the driven snow. And one of the things that he would do to protect his coat from getting soil, he would not go places that were dirty. And the fur from this animal was so precious that hunters wanted it. And so the only way they could get this ermine, because he would, as the hunters would begin to hunt him and he would sense it, he would go back into his hole. And one of the things that they would do at the entrance of his hole is that they would put grit and dirt and grime at the entrance of his hole. And so when the hunters began to hunt the ermine, and he went back and saw the dirt in at the entrance of his hole, he would not go in. And the hunters would trap him and kill him. And the illustration was that he wanted to keep his fur pure. And he held purity. Watch this now. He held purity above life itself. How about you, my brothers and sisters? You desire holiness in your life. I didn't say perfection. I didn't say that you don't sin. No, I didn't say that. But I'm just saying, are you striving to live a life that's pleasing to God? Are you striving to live a life that is pure in your thoughts, your conversation, and your character? What makes God sing? God sings when his people are living a holy life. What makes God sing? Number three, joy coming out of his people. When God sees his people with joyful hearts, this causes him to rejoice. Now, we know that whenever we go through difficult times and hard times, that God is with us and that he comes alongside to strengthen and we know that. But do you realize that when you have a joyful heart, think about that. When your heart is joyful, God's heart is joyful. Have you ever did something that made another person happy? And when you did something that made them happy, remember how you felt when you saw that it was something that, I mean, and let's be honest, why do many of us give Christmas gifts? You know, we give them, why? Because we want to what? Make other people happy. You know, we want to see the joy and we want to see the delight on their face whenever they rip through that present and open it up and say, boy, this is what I wanted, a fathead. They put it up on their wall, right? One little boy, he saw a fathead on his wall. He said, my jaw just almost dropped to the floor. He was happy. Now, let me ask you a question. If we get happy because we have made somebody happy, don't you think that God gets happy when he sees joy coming out of his people? Notice during the millennium, three things. All in the book of Isaiah. We can turn there. All in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. The first thing that we see is that this joy will be exhilarating. It will be an exhilarating joy. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion. Now again, this is talking about that 1,000-year reign of Christ. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Notice what it says there. He will give them the what? The oil of what? The oil of joy. What did oil symbolize in the Bible? Well, one of the things it symbolized was the Holy Spirit, but the next thing that it symbolized was joyfulness, exhilaration. And God is going to give us during that time an exhilarating joy, a joy that just leaps and bounds along, an excitement about him and what he's done. We see in Isaiah 51 and verse 11 that this joy will not only be exhilarating, but this joy will also be unending. Isaiah 51 and verse 11, it will be an unending joy. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Look at this. And what? And what? And what? An everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. In the millennium, we will have everlasting joy. And then we see that this joy will be universal. Psalm 55 in verse 12, it will be universal. For he shall go out with joy and lead and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Mountains everywhere will break out with singing, and the trees everywhere shall clap their hands. Universal joy. What makes God sing? God sings when he sees a joyful people. There was a couple Christmas letters that were written to Santa Claus. And I think that these are indicative of what we call Christmas joy. Not the excitement over the things of God, but over what we want. This one said, coming from a little boy, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance," signed Alfred. One little boy wrote, "Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live in the house where I'm at. There is Jeffrey, he's 2. There is David, he's 4. And there is Norman, he's 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all of the time. And I am Norman." See, that's our joy. You know, we get joy off of the wrong thing. We need to be able to find our joy and our contentment in God. Amen. And whenever we find our joy in him and our hearts burst forth, God sings. Fanny Crosby, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. "Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. To God be the glory, great things he hath done." Many more hymns, 8,000 hymns she wrote. Now, you know the unique thing about Fanny Crosby? Is that she was blind from the time she was born. She was blind all of her life. And when she was 8 years old, she wrote this poem. "Oh, what a happy so am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I can't and know I won't." Blind from birth. But her joy was still there. I believe that every hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote, that God sang in heaven. He rejoiced in heaven. What makes God sing? God sings when he sees his people at peace. God sings when he sees his people worshiping and together and exhibiting joy. These things make God's heart sing. And then finally, this morning, what makes God sing? God sings when he sees his people unified in worship. During the millennium, there'll be no African-American churches. There'll be no white churches. There'll be no Chinese churches. There'll just be a universal worship among God's people, and they'll all join together in chorus and sing out unto him. You know, I'm reminded of a story I heard about Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley had a dream. And in his dream, he died and went to hell. And then while he in the same dream, he went to heaven. And when he died and went to hell, he looked and, you know, there was a section of Baptists over here. There was a section of Presbyterians over here. There was a section of Methodists over here. Section of Church of God in Christ over here. And Wesley saw all these people compartmentalized in hell according to their religion. And then he was taken to heaven and shown around. And the angel began to show him heaven and all the glories and splendors of heaven. And Wesley said, but where are the Baptists? Where are the Methodists? Where are the Presbyterians? Where are the Church of God in Christ? And the angel said, we're all Christians here. We're all Christians here. There's no segregation. We all worship God together. Look at Micah chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. What is this? This is the place of worship, the house of the Lord. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall what? Flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the house of God, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the laws shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We will flow to the house of the Lord during the millennium and worship God. You know what makes God sing? When people worship together in unity. When he sees people coming together. Martin Luther King made this observation that the most segregated hour in the American society is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And that should be the time when we are most unified. That should be the time when we are most together. When we realize that God sings when his people worship. Amen. What makes God sing?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Jesus Came to Walk with Us Through the Dark Times of Loneliness on this journey. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Lord is Singing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is Singing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is Singing, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.